And the theme of today's message is In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone. I'd like to give you a brief explanation of the historic event, even though you watch the video, and I know some people were like, what is this? Even though they saw the video. So I want to talk about it, give you a little explanation about it so that the newer Christians will understand why this day is so significant to the church. The madness that started as far back as 1095 A.D., when the church in Rome, that we're talking about the Roman Catholic Church, became involved in what theologians call the selling of indulgences. And in simplistic terms, this had to do with a system that was set up for the purpose of reducing the amount of punishment one had to undergo for sin. The recipient of an indulgence had to perform an act to receive it. So it stemmed anywhere from a prayer that was said many times, or visiting a particular place, or performing a specific good work, or offering cash contribution so that sin will be wiped away. This was a big problem for the church, because what this system did was it ruled out the whole act of God's plan of redemption, putting us back into the same situation that we were set free from in the very beginning. So if this system had continued, the work of the cross would have been nullified, and the works of man would have been glorified, and the final state of man would have been horrifying. So something had to be done to correct this madness. So Dr. Martin Luther, who I am proud to present to you as the founding father of the Lutheran Church, braved the storm of the imposed persecution by boldly standing up against this heresy. So it was in Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31st of 1517 A.D., when he penned what is known today as the 95 Theses, which doctrinally opposed the idea of the selling of indulgences. The object of this thesis, the objective rather of this thesis, was to bring the church back to the foundation on which it was first established. The foundation that carried the inscription, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Dr. Martin Luther, with our Lord Jesus Christ, who said he believed or agreed with our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, it is finished, when he hung on that cross, and that the work for sin was paid for on the cross of Calvary. He agreed with Jesus Christ on that term. He agreed because the veil in the temple was rented into two. And God said that there is no more sacrifice for sin, because the sacrifice for sin has been paid for on the cross of Calvary. He believed in those words. And he said, since Jesus did it on the cross, there is no need for us to try to do it for ourselves. Dr. Martin Luther agreed with the Apostle Paul, who writes these words in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. So he gives to the church during his time the idea that grace has been received not through the works of man. That grace is something that we do not deserve. That there is absolutely nothing that the church can do to bring themselves clean in front of God. That the works of the cross satisfy God's justice. So he makes that clear in the text, in this text written by Paul. So Dr. Martin Luther agreed with these terms. This is why from our second reading this morning, which is found in the book of Romans, we find clarity on the subject of the incompetency of men's work as it relates to satisfying God's justice. In other words, why our works are unacceptable before God. So here are a few good things to consider this morning. The first thing we want to consider is the plague of the law. The plague of the law. We're talking about the law that God handed down to man. Let's look at the plague of the law. The plague of the law is called sin. And the question that one may ask is, what then is sin? What is sin? Any thought or action that falls short of God's glory is called sin, or God's will can be considered as sin. God is perfect in his thoughts, and he is perfect in his action. And when we talk about perfect, we're talking about full perfection. And this is the kind of God that has come down in our world and is trying to have a relationship with you and I. So think about it for a second. A God that is perfect in his thoughts and he is perfect in his actions has come down and say, come now, let's reason together. So God comes not only saying, come, let's reason together, but he's talking and is concerned about our condition. And he's saying to you and I that where we stand as human, the sinful nature is standing in the way and is stopping us from having the kind of relationship that he seeks to have with us. So God comes and he comes with his cleansing power. This cleansing power is able to cleanse us from sin and wash us white as snow. It doesn't cover sin. It washes it white as snow. And this is what the blood of Jesus Christ does on the cross. So God comes and he tells us that he's perfect. So God declares that all of us, he's talking about the whole world, is plagued by this one spiritual epidemic. No one can help another person. No one in the world has in them the power, capacity, or ability to help another person. A husband cannot help a wife. A father cannot help his child. A mother cannot help her child. A brother cannot help his sister. A friend cannot help a friend when it comes to this situation of sin. No one can help the other person. And so this is the reason why it comes to the point where the earth needed heaven. The whole earth needed heaven. And we cry out to God in heaven and we call on him to come and rescue us. It's like when a country is going through civil war and everybody in there is trying to help themselves. I remember that because I was in Liberia when the war happened. And everybody was running. People go in that direction and people are coming from the direction that you're running at. And it was just crazy because no one could help the next person. So we needed someone to come from outside to help the situation that was going on inside. And it was when the West African Peacekeeping Force had to come in and try to bring sense to where there was senselessness. It's the same situation with God. He looked down on the earth back and forth and saw no one. I mean, absolutely no one was able to help this situation. The only way we could have been helped was for God to come down and intervene. So that's how bad the plague of the law was and still is. Now let's look at the purpose of the law. In Romans 3 verse 19, it reads, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. And I underline the word under the law, those who are under the law. So before an epidemic can be treated, it has to first be known. So God sits in heaven and looks down on earth, and he sees that we have a problem. But man did not see that he had a problem, but God saw that we had a problem. And God discovered what the problem was, and he had to make it known to us. And we had to really come to the point of understanding why, what this situation is, and why God had to come down to the earth. So the epidemic we're talking about is still on the earth today. It is the reality that man lived and still is living short of God's glory. Living short of God's glory. The scripture lets us know that for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. It's like trying to live, you know, short of oxygen in this environment. So the spirit of man needs God. We need the life of God. We need the glory of God to survive. Apart from that, we cannot enjoy the glory and benefit of God. So the spirit of man needs God to survive. And if the spirit does not have man, have God, our spirit doesn't have God, the spirit doesn't have life. So just as the body needs oxygen to survive, our spirit needs God to survive. So we fell short of that glory. So man died spiritually. And when we fell away from the glory of God, we died spiritually. So just as the body needs oxygen, so the spirit needs God's glory. So living under the law was really intended to show the physical man how bad his condition was. And that's why God gave us the law. It's like putting a cell under the microscope to see the extent of the damage caused to it and how irreparable it is. It is what God did when he gave us the law. All right? And we looked at it, and it was impossible to live by the law and become holy. It was just extremely impossible. But also added to this was the work carried out only to cover sin. The scripture tells us in the Old Testament, they had to slaughter thousands and thousands of animals. All right? Thousands and thousands of animals had to be slaughtered at one time. And the only thing all of that did was cover sin. It didn't have inside of it the ability to wash away sin. So God had to come up with a remedy that was going to cleanse us from our sins completely. And so that's when Jesus went on the cross and died. And this is the reason why the blood of Jesus Christ becomes so important to the church. All right? Because the blood of animals could not do it. No matter how many were slaughtered at a time, was not able to wash man cleansed from their sin. And this is so important for us to understand why God gave us the law. The law is a mirror. He says, look at yourself. When you stand in the mirror, the reason why you do that is to see what you look like before you get out of the house. And God has given us the law to look at the law and see how bad we are, so we can see that there is a need to fix something. And until man can come to that point of conviction, until man can come to that point of being rebuked by the law of God, we will never ever see the need for Jesus. We will never ever see the need for the gospel. The gospel has the power to transform. The gospel has the power to change situation. But the only way man is going to run looking for the cross of Christ is after he comes to see how bad his condition is. So God gives us the law to see that. The last point in this morning's message is the promise through the law. Look in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. It says, now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So this passage suggests to us that both the law and the prophet testify to the promised righteousness of God, beginning from Genesis, where when, you know, the devil made man to eat of that fruit, and God comes down and said, the seed of a woman is going to crush your head. It was from that promise, it was from that one promise that the Old Testament began this journey from the book of Genesis. And then you come all the way down to the books of the prophets, even to the last book of the prophet in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And you can read on to verse 5, but it says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before you. God is talking about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. This was
promise that was brought forth throughout the Old Testament. So this is the reason why it is difficult for anyone to sit back and say, you know, the Messiah has not come yet. Because Jesus was mentioned throughout the Old Testament into the New. And this is why we sit here today to celebrate him. This is when heaven came and rescued us. It's what the text is talking about. When God gave this promise, this is when mercy said, no, sin will never take control. And the mercy of God dwells with us every day. We woke up this morning in that mercy. It is in his mercy that we gathered in worship this morning. It is that mercy that has brought us here. Because we believe by faith that it is by grace alone that we have been saved. And that grace comes through no other means, but through the one Son of God who went on the cross and died to bring redemption to all men. And yes, indeed, we have been set free, because whom the Son has set free, listen, is freed indeed. So through faith in Jesus Christ, to all who believe, the scripture says. The question to us, do we believe in the work that he's done on the cross? All who believe are justified freely by this grace. In conclusion, let me read verses 25 through 27. It says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by grace. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, that's in his patience, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. All right? He left it unpunished beforehand because of his patience. And in verse 26, he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. We are justified because of the faith we have in Jesus Christ, not by our works. In verse 27, last verse I want to read, it says, where then is boasting? See, none of us boast about this. Boasting, he says, it is excluded. Because of what? Law. The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. It is by faith, my friends, that we enjoy the blessings and benefit that we receive from God. It comes by faith. It is not by works. Now you can understand and begin to sense why the church continuously comes together. We come because this whole issue of salvation has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the cross. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. My friends, I don't know why you come on Sunday morning, but every time I come in worship on Sunday morning, it is because of Jesus Christ. I come because he died on the cross for my sins. I come because his blood makes the atonement for my sin. I come because it is in Christ alone, by faith alone, and grace alone that I stand and nothing else. And I pray this be the same for you. As we celebrate Reformation this morning, we go back and look to where we came from. And we look to one and only one thing, and that is the cross on which he died. I pray that this word this morning from God would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing that it is not by works that we have become saved, but it is by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you believe this, all God's people say it with me, amen. Thank you.